shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mark Kent, and I'm your host. We're sponsored by North State Consultants, the best tax prep and consultants in the business. Their telephone number is 530-221-0101, and consultations are by appointment only. You're listening to 1460 KCNR Free Fire Radio, home of the Free Fire Media. I guess I said that correctly.
Oh, boy. Oh, here we go.
Once again, we're at it. Okay, we're in the studio here with my sister and all-around cohort partner in crime, I guess.
Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning. And we also have Chandler, our trusted soundboard operator and all-around good guy.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Very good.
And we have a special guest with us, Gary Cadd, and he's from the Shasta Coordination guys, and trying to keep our government in line, under control. And
keep an eye on them.
Absolutely.
Good morning, all.
Good morning,
good
Gary.
Good morning.
Okay, so if you want to go to the chat room and chat live, it's kcnr1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. All our shows are podcast and archived as well, so you can listen to us anytime you need to. Your country, your children, and your grandchildren need you to get involved now. What's it going to take to pry your butts up off the couch? How bad does it have to get before you start doing something? This program wants to give you as many solutions as possible. You need to start by educating yourself on the issues, talk to your neighbors, go to a Tea Party meeting, check out a website, and see what you can do to protect yourself and your family from big out-of-control government. Again, the phone number here is 530-605-4567, or go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com. I can be emailed at kentmark99@yahoo.com, but I never check it, so it might be a month before I get back to you. So with that, do we have tea party events?
We do have tea party events. This Monday night is debates with candidates for District 3, I believe.
Debates.
I haven't had enough coffee.
Also, this Sunday at 6 p.m. at Angelo's Pizza Parlor, Ron Paul is having a campaign meeting for people to show up and get involved in Ron Paul's campaign. So, any veterans events?
Yes, we do. We have a dedication down at City Hall today for the Purple Heart. City is getting dedicated the first city. Actually, it's the county. Shasta County is the first county to be recognized for the Purple Heart.
Oh, interesting.
For their support of all the veterans.
Very good.
That's very good. Also, on the 18th, the Assembly budget hearing down in Sacramento, there's a group of us getting together and going down there to show our support for the veterans' home.
Yeah, you're not protesting. You're just keeping an eye on them.
Yeah. We're making sure that they do what they're supposed to do with the money that's been allocated for the veterans' home.
Oh, the money that they just don't want to give to them because they would rather give it to a high-speed rail system that ends up in Barstow at the end of the line and 100 miles to Vegas still.
Yeah, so that's on the 18th at 1:30. If you're interested, it's $20 a person if you want to go down on the bus. And you can get a hold of Bob Dunlap at 225-5616 if you're interested in doing that. I know personally, a group of us are going down, and delivering handwritten letters to show our support for the veterans down there. So.
Oh, very good. Very good. We stand for limited government, fiscal responsibility, and start following the Constitution. I know that's a out-of-step sort of thing and doesn't fall into the narrative, But that's what we're about. First quote. I thought this was a great quote. This is one of the best quotes I've seen in quite some time. It actually sort of got me going here. And this is, "Remember, you're going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You are already naked. There is no reason not to follow your heart." And that was Steve Jobs at a Stanford commencement address in 2005. I mean, that's a great quote.
Yes, that is.
So, with that, let's do the forgery.
Having a hard time over there?
That's all. I mean, yeah. So, I'm going to go to the Forgery Gate Birther report. And I read this morning, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. So now, Obama's lawyer admits forgery, but disregards the image as an indication of Obama's eligibility. Now, this is in a court in New York, after the Maricopa County Law Enforcement Agency conducted a 6-month forensic examination to determine that the image was false and forged, Selective Service, blah, blah, blah. We all know most of this if you've been listening. But taking an audacious and shocking angle against the Constitution eligibility mandate, Obama's lawyer, Alexandra Hill, admitted that the image of Obama's birth certificate was a forgery and made the absurd claim that therefore it cannot be used as evidence to confirm his lack of natural-born citizenship status. Therefore, she argued it's irrelevant to his placement on the ballot. I mean,
you can't make this stuff up at all. I mean, come on, folks.
I know. Hill went on to contort reasoning by implying that Obama's needs only invoke his political popularity, not by legal qualification in order to be a candidate. In other words, what he's saying is, as long as the major portion of the public thinks it's okay. Well, this is called mobocracy. This is what the founding fathers talked about, democracy was mob rule, and if you didn't have rule of law in a republic, that sooner or later you'd end up in a dictatorship. At the hearing, attorney for the plaintiff, Mario Apuzzo, correctly argued that Obama, under the Constitution, has to be a natural-born citizen and that he has not met the burden of proof showing that he is eligible to be on the New Jersey primary ballot by showing that he is indeed a natural-born citizen. So this whole thing is unbelievable, and it's getting more and more convoluted, the arguments. And it goes on to say, the last line, as Obama's legal argument becomes more contorted, he is being forced to avoid an ever shrinking legal space and an increasing weight of his failure to meet constitutional requirements. I mean, this is becoming pretty obvious. Now, of course, he's trying to twist this into, it doesn't really matter if I legally am, constitutionally eligible to be on the ballot. All that matters is that people love me. Well, you might love Obama now, but if we switch this out for all you guys out there that are Obama fans and put George Bush there, would you love it then? Or how about Idi Amin or Stalin or somebody like that that got into power? Would you like it then?
Well, that would be a whole different story. And the media is all over this, right?
There you go, right there. It's a long pause.
I think they call that a pregnant pause. Yeah, they're all over this. Yeah, exactly. So, it's just unbelievable that this is going on. And you can't make this stuff up. It's just, and the reports go on and on and on and on and on. So, what is going on with our media and our government here? I mean, it doesn't matter that, there's tens of thousands now. I think it's up to 40,000 people that have petitioned the Congress to look at this, and it's climbing up. And so, this is not going away, but it just goes to show you how in the tank the media is on all this stuff. It's
unbelievable. More people need to get on board. If there's sheriffs out there that want to help support Sheriff Arpaio, that would be really good.
Absolutely.
So let him know.
Donate, and also go there, and they have a petition that you can send in to the Congress to let them know that you're not really happy about the fact that this guy just is above the law and so forth. forth. So I think we're about ready to go to a break here, and we'll come back a little bit of economic news, and then we'll get right to it with our guests.
We have not only Gary Catt in the studio, but we'll have a caller on the line, Dr. Hauser.
Very good. Whistleblower, dam whistleblower. Yeah, he's the whistleblower on the dam. All right, with that, we'll go to a break, 1460.
This is KCNR, 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
A nice new refrigerator.
Thanks. Just got it delivered.
You bought a new GE refrigerator in this economy? Must have been expensive.
Nope.
Did you buy it at one of those used appliance stores?
Does it look like a used refrigerator to you?
You didn't get it off Craigslist, did you?
Dude, do you think I'd do that? That's gross.
So what? Did you steal it from a model home?
Almost. I bought it at Appliances Direct. Now, they sell new high-quality GE appliances, as well as new heavily discounted GE scratch and dent appliances.
Yeah, but does it come with a warranty?
That's the best part. Appliances Direct, they have full GE factory warranty, even on GE scratch and dents.
Can they deliver if I need it?
Oh, yeah. They brought it out the very same day. They hooked it up, made sure everything works just perfect. They'll even take away your old appliances.
Same day delivery in Holloway? Wow!
You can believe it. Hey, where are you going?
I'm going to Appliances Direct to buy a new GE washer and dryer.
Ask them about their easy financing options.
Appliances Direct, your big box alternative at the end of South Market. 244-1600.
Thank you for shopping at Bastiani Arms. It is now 6 o'clock and we are now closed. Please bring your purchases up to the register at this time.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Just kidding.
The good guys at Bastiani Arms will continue to give you the attention and service you've come to expect, even if you need them after hours. They still treat every customer the old-fashioned way, with respect and first-class customer service. If you're buying a new gun anytime soon, remember Bastiani Arms, your locally owned and operated firearms dealer. New or used, Bastiani Arms is Redding's most knowledgeable firearms dealer on handguns, rifles, shotguns, and off-list AR lower receivers. No fishing poles or camping equipment sold here. No, sir. Bastiani Arms is Redding's exclusive firearms dealer. They appreciate your business and thank you for keeping your dollars here in our community. Bastiani Arms on the corner of Larkspur and Wall Street in Redding. Join the revolution.
Sovereign Mind Radio, 1460, home of the Free Fire Media, and wow, yeah,
boy.
Okay, so I want to get to one more thing on the gold and silver, and this is from King World News, Richard Russell, and it is titled "Crimes, Chaos, Collapse, and Skyrocketing Gold." With continued turmoil in global markets, oh yeah, and I guess I should, you know, before I get started on the economy, you know, let's see. There's another downgrade of the U.S. credit last week. Bank runs in Europe. Media blacking out anything that doesn't put a positive spin on the economy. And, you know, so where's the news at? Where's the news at? Okay, so back to the story here. Richard Russell issued some ominous warnings and gave some strong advice to investors in his latest commentary. Save some cash, load up with gold and silver, and be patient. Get ready for a crime wave. A large segment of the population will do whatever it has to in order to obtain food. Hungry men and women can be desperate and lawless. If the government does not supply any additional stimulus, but it does supply additional masses of QE, that's printing money out of thin air, this will be a long, drawn-out situation, probably not becoming toxic until the years 2015 or 2017. I think it's going to be a lot sooner. This period will ultimately see pressure on the dollar and an accompanying collapse of stocks and bonds. And all the people that are thinking, the administration, oh, look, the stock market's doing great. Well, they should go check out Zimbabwe right before they collapse, because when you just keep pouring money out of thin air from the Fed into the stock market, the way they're doing it through Goldman Sachs and so forth, is the stock market has a tendency to go up, but it's becoming worth less and less and less because the money's being devalued, and it ultimately ends in a crash.
Yeah, and the more it goes up, the more it goes
the
down.
The farther it comes down, yeah. Whatever goes up must come down. Laws of gravity, Newton, all that kind of stuff.
I think that's physics.
Law of turmoil. So, with that, let's go to our guests here. Do we have Mr. Hauser on the line?
Yep, this is Paul Hauser.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing
morning,
today?
Dr. Hauser.
How are you?
Very good, very good. Listen, we are not quite sure where to get started here, but maybe you can give us a little background on you and tell us what your qualifications are to be a whistleblower and a damn whistleblower at that. So maybe you can give us a little info.
Sure. I started my career about 25 years ago in hydrology and water resources. Got a PhD in hydrology from University of Arizona. And then I went to go work for NASA for 10 years, studying hydrology from satellites. Joined George Mason University in 2005 and continued to teach and mentor students about hydrology and water resources. And then about a year ago, I got an opportunity to take a leave of absence and go work at the Bureau of Reclamation as the science advisor or the top scientist in the organization. So my job was to advise the head of reclamation on science issues, but more specifically to develop and implement policies on scientific integrity, peer review, and data stewardship.
Wow. Sounds like you know what you're talking about.
I think I know pretty well about water and water science.
Very good. So then you were on this project, and then you basically explained or told your bosses, the powers that be, if you will, that their science was bad. Is that how this kind of started?
Not exactly, but close. So in September, I was asked to review a press release on the Klamath Dam removal and the benefits that it would have. So I had previously toured the four dams with Pacific Corps and Reclamation scientists, and I thought I had a pretty good idea of what the science was. I also read a lot of the reports, and this press release and also a supporting document on the summary of the science in preparation for the Secretary Hale decision on removing the dams was presented to me. I was asked to take a look at it and see what I thought. The press officer thought it was a little suspect. And it was very, very positive. It said, you know, removing the dams was going to produce all these jobs and was going to do fantastic things for the fish. It's not so clear. There's a lot of issues with removing dams in terms of what to do with the sediment, water quality issues, and water temperature issues, especially in the unique environment of the Upper Klamath. And so the science is much less certain than the press release was putting out. It was really taking an extreme positive spin on the science of dam removal, and I questioned that. I said, shouldn't we be telling the public and the secretary really the truth about the science, that we really don't know what's going to happen, that there really is big risks and big questions? So I put that forward to my bosses, and I was quickly made aware that I shouldn't be doing that. It's not in support of the secretary's goals, and it was, I was asked not to create discoverable documents that could be found through a Freedom of Information Act, which I thought was rather strange. Why would they be trying to hide this? And then I was told by my supervisor that really the Secretary of the Interior wants to remove the dams. The decision had already been made, and so they were just kind of lining up science and other things like the jobs issues to justify that decision.
Why do you think, in your opinion, that they want to remove the dams other than all this rhetoric that they're spewing? Because there must be a hidden agenda here. Is it a control of the land thing? Is this a government? I mean, what's your opinion on that?
You know, I've heard that there could be bigger issues like that. My opinion on the reason why they were going after this was two things, and it might just be, you know, tip of the iceberg, but one is that the Secretary and the administration have a policy called the America's Great Outdoors Initiative, and part of that they have a river restoration initiative. They want to restore habitat and river systems all over the country, and I think this is just potentially part of that policy. They want to kind of leave a legacy of having that be something they're known for. Additionally, I think there's a bunch of finances involved. This is a very expensive, big project that would benefit PacifiCorps, certainly, but would also benefit quite a few of the players, counties, tribes, and there could be financial reasons why those decisions are being made. Interestingly enough, I've heard from quite a number of fish biologists who actually think the way that the KBRA is written is detrimental to quite a few other species, birds and other fish species, in favor of coho, and it's not even sure that it will be good for coho. So that makes me kind of wonder, why are we, you know, being told that there's going to be all this benefit to fish, and then other people are saying, you know, there's not benefit to fish, and it's still going forward. It seems like there is some other kind of agenda that's pushing it.
Yeah, I'm reading something here from the KBC editor about the KBRA. It was born in a closed-door meeting with no transparency, no public input, no public vote, no agricultural groups allowed at the negotiation table that did not agree with the predetermined agenda of the Klamath Dam destruction and giving the Klamath tribes land, you know, which it says they previously sold. So it seems to me that, you know, you know, they had an agenda from the start, and they really didn't want anybody that was opposed to this to have any say or anything in this. And I'm assuming there's coordination going on up there at this point, too. I don't know how that's going yet, but what do you know about that?
About keeping everybody out that doesn't agree?
Exactly. And then do you know anything about what's happening with the coordination in the local government?
Yeah, I've you know, read, just like you have, that there are all these closed door meetings, and you know, people are systematically being fired or eliminated if they don't agree with what the mission is. So they're kind of loading the deck in a way. They're just eliminating anybody from the table who isn't in agreement. And that's even the case with some of the science panels and whatnot. So they don't even let people comment or be involved in the science unless they've already, you know, signed the agreement and decided that they want to be part of this.
Isn't it true, too, that they sent out a survey and the administration actually paid people for taking the survey?
Yeah, it's a very strange survey. I was there at Reclamation when we were discussing the results of the survey. I wasn't involved in creating it, but I think it was the Department of Interior who really was responsible. So they sent out, you know, 1,000-some questionnaires to people all over the country, not even in the Klamath, and along with a $2 bill, and they basically said, you know, do you think it's a good thing to take out dams to save salmon? And, you know, questions that are kind of preloaded without any background information. You know, most people are going to say, yeah, that sounds good. We like salmon. It's nice to see, you know, pretty rivers and that kind of stuff. And without knowing the whole story, they got this return. The survey results were just crazy, overwhelming in favor of the value of removing dams based on the questions that they asked. And even the Department of Interior people and the press officers were just going, if we put this out, people are going to laugh at us. It's just so unbelievable that we got, you know, 90% of the respondents thought it was a great idea to remove the dams. It's just not, it's not reasonable to think that anybody would take this seriously. So I think they've pretty much suppressed it, the results, because they just don't think that it's, if they put it out, it's going to, people are just going to laugh at it.
So we know who the big winners are going to be here. It's going to be the government. It's going to be the Indian tribe. You know, more power to and control over the local issues. So who are the big losers here, do you think?
Well, potentially society is a loser. I mean, we could be paying $1 billion or more between ratepayers, taxpayers, and, you know, taxpayers from multiple districts from California, Oregon, and the federal government could be paying a lot of money, basically to give PacifiCorps some benefit and to give environmental groups benefit. And it's really, the science isn't clear that spending that much money is really going to bring the fish back. I think it's a far better idea to actually take a page out of Department of the Interior's book and do what's called adaptive management. It's where you take decisive, smaller steps to try to improve a habitat or improve to learn more about science. What we're talking about doing with removing dams or with trying to restore fisheries is really not very well posed scientifically, because what science wants in the scientific method is you want to do a control and an experiment and then compare the results between them. In this case, we don't have a control. If we just take the dams out, we have an experiment, and we don't really know what's going to happen.
Well, listen, I think we got to go to a break here, and then I think Gary has some questions for you when we come back. So
okay.
We'll be right back, 1460.
This is KCNR, 1460, home of the Free Fire Media, and we'll catch you on the other side.
People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
Wake up, America. You're too young to die.
Join us this Sunday, April 15th, as we welcome Vicki Davis, who'll talk about dangerous public-private partnerships and how technocracy ties together such diverse areas as climate change, sustainable development, government surveillance, and Agenda 21. We the People, Sunday mornings, 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hi, this is Ron Lim from Lim's Pharmacy. My staff and I would like to invite you to come and try our personalized, fast, friendly service that has always been the foundation of our pharmacy. We have been serving the Reading area for over 30 years. We solve insurance problems quickly and efficiently. We accept Medi-Cal, work comp, and most insurances. Lim's Pharmacy is located inside the Shasta Community Health Center at Placer and Continental Streets. And you don't have to be a patient of the clinic to come to us. Call us at 241-8700 for more info. Thank you.
Luella Abbott from Reading has been to Crown Motors before. So we ask her, did you like the service? Did you save some money and were you treated right? And Cloella says, this is the seventh car I bought at Crown, so the answer is yes, yes, and yes. You can't beat that. Thanks, Cloella. Check us out online at crownmotorsready.com. And remember, as dealers, we all pay the same for these vehicles. The difference is what we sell them for.
That was my fault. I'm too busy.
Can I interrupt there a second?
Sure.
Mississippi Moon, if the fish are jumping, I wonder if they're biting. It's time to go fishing.
Sounds good, doesn't it? Boy. So let's see. We're back. Are you there, Dr. Hauser?
Yep, I'm here.
Very good. I think Gary has some questions for you.
Yes, Doctor. It's good talking to you. I would like to make mention, taking the dams out up there and the sediment you mentioned a minute ago. We got to also mention that that sediment's going to be very, 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 very toxic.
Yes.
There's a good possibility that they could basically kill the environment for the very fish that they're trying to save.
Right. There's huge amounts of sediment that have backed up behind those dams for, you know, decades, 100 years in one case. And if we have all this coming down, the sediment also has a lot of phosphorus and other, you know, agricultural chemicals, all kinds of stuff that had built up over the years. And it's going to be coming down the river and into healthy habitats, even into the ocean. It could be making some pretty bad news for the habitat that already exists in lower climates that could be threatened by that. And it could be happening over many years. So, I mean, the sediment's backed up into the tributaries under the, you know, were flowing into the river. There's slope stability issues if you take the water out of the dams. All have to be, you know, really should be mitigated. But their plan is to basically just breach the dams and let all this go down the river rather than dredging it out. And we don't know what's in the sediment, but we know that it's not good.
But I think we both know that that sediment is going to settle as it goes down, so it's just going to be spread out down through the river. But in the previous segment, you talked about poles that were taken and people. You and I both know that a pole can be devised to get whatever answer someone wants. And that's what's happening with these poles that we keep hearing, that a pole comes out with a predetermined answer.
Well, and that can happen actually with scientific peer review as well. I don't know if you're aware, but you know, when I write a publication, my publication has to be peer reviewed before it can be accepted by the scientific community and put in a journal. My peer reviews, you know, when my papers get peer reviewed, they just go through, is this good science? Is this the kind of science we want in our journal? But the government did a peer review on the draft EIS, EIR for climate dam removal, and ask questions like, does this document meet its own objectives? You know, questions that don't necessarily tell you whether or not it is good science or unbiased science. And that, you know, in a similar way to your to the survey, you can kind of predetermine an answer based on the questions you ask.
Sure. There's so many times nowadays that there's something called deliberative poll, where you gather a number of people together and give them, when they first arrive, you give them a poll. Then you go through and talk about, put a presentation on each item on the poll, then have them take the poll a second time. And sometimes when you see the results and see the a jump in either a jump or a decrease in the polling, you begin to wonder what was said.
That's right.
I also are you aware of the in the state of California, the integrated water management groups that are being put together?
I'm not directly aware. You know, I'm not in. I haven't done a lot of research in California and Oregon, except for one of my time at Reclamation. I'm actually sitting in Maryland right now, so my home and profession is on the East Coast. But I'm aware there's a huge number of organizations that are, you know, organizing on both sides of this issue and larger issues. There's quite a bit of interest in this issue.
Well, what has basically happened with this is the state of California is not playing fair. They're putting together integrated water groups all up and down the state, but they're also setting the standards by which you can put these groups together, and it's got a climate action, climate change they call it, but it's climate action plan is what it is, and it's going to be hitting us hard.
Interesting.
Seems like we're going towards regional government in all these areas as opposed to local control and elected officials is what I'm gathering out of this, is that the farther that we get along here, the more that the local people are losing control of the water rights, and the whole nine yards. I mean, are you seeing that at all, or does that, you know, enter into the equation?
Well, in the case of Department of Interior, they, you know, are really on a national scale trying to impose some of these policies of river restoration, and certainly I would say it's more than regional. I think there's a, you know, national effort to change the landscape.
And global, I think, as well. I mean, I think this is our Agenda 21 stuff coming home to roost, they want a world government with the smarter than all the rest of us elitist people managing everything for our own good, I think, is where this actually is headed, myself.
Well, there is another thing that's in today's paper here in Reading. Pacific Coast Fisheries Management Council, federal council, instructed here some time ago the Bella Vista Water District to put in new fish screens. And my point is, what's the federal government doing in Redding, California, on the Sacramento River, telling us what to do? Where's the California State Fish and Game? So we have a federal bureau that's telling us what to do on our inland waters.
Yeah, well, there are federal laws that I guess need to be abided by, but they could be abided by the locals. So there are things like the Endangered Species Act, of course, that have to be followed. But the Endangered Species Act does not rule out making decisions that balance protecting species with human interests. And often we're seeing that's the human interest part is being eliminated, and we're just, you know, doing decision making based entirely on saving an individual species.
And I think that's a ruse. I mean, just what you just talked about with the dams up there in Siskiyou County, that they're saying the salmon, this is, you know, about the salmon and the coho, but at the same time they wipe out a bunch of other species by getting rid of the dam. You know, you can't have it both ways. You can't say that, gee, this is for the species and we're not going to worry about the humans, but at the same time, you know, where do you start putting one species above another? So the coho salmon, which aren't even native, are more important than the locals' fish and wildlife. I mean, I can't, you know, you can't reconcile that with an intelligent thought reasonably unless there's another agenda.
Well, and the fact is we can do science that balances. It may not be the perfect solution for an individual species, but we could find solutions that help as well as we can multiple species, and also balance that with people's use of our resources. I think it's naive to think that we're just going to solve all the problems by basically eliminating people from the picture. We've been involved in managing the land as long as people have been around the land. And we have a symbiotic relationship with the land. For example, if we suppress forest fire, we have an obligation to make sure that the fuel in the forest doesn't get too dense. Otherwise, we could have even more catastrophic issues with forest fires that just burn everything to the ground, whereas historical forest fires just kind of char the trees, but don't kill them.
Right. They get all the, they get, fuel load. They take out all the undergrowth as opposed to a fuel buildup. I used to be in fire suppression, so I understand this. And basically in the last 10 years, what we've had through this mismanagement of the forest is that we have more government control and worse forest fires. And when you put that all together on the plate, what it means is that, their management is awful and it's worse to do the way they're doing it. And the only thing that seems to come out of this whole deal is we get more and more power invested in the federal government. And anyway, with that, that's my opinion. I'm ranting a little bit here, but we're going to go to a break right now, and we'll be right back.
This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'm running for Supervisor District 3. Proven leadership for Shasta County. I grew up here in Shasta County. I've worked at Jones's Fort for over 30 years. I've been the lone conservative voice on Redding City Council, and I've served as Redding's mayor in 2010. One of the most important issues facing eastern Shasta County is the protection of our water rights. Vote for me, Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 3, paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 3, 2012.
There was such a big success last month giving one local veteran a $300 tattoo. Nathan's Anthems has decided to open it up to all our listeners. You could win a free tattoo worth $300. Stop in and sign up today. Nathan's Anthems is always revolutionizing the tattoo and piercing industry by continuously raising standards. Nathan's is now offering permanent cosmetics. Call or visit to consult. All tattoos are personal, and we know that. That's why our team of professional artists is here for you. If you can think it, we can ink it. Come visit. Check out the galleries of work done by both artists and piercers. Meet the crew and take a tour. Open every day, located on the corner of Market and Tehama. Nathan's has the largest display of body jewelry north of the Bay Area. Come in and see for yourself how we do things. Nathan's Anthems has professional body piercers and tattoo artists. That means you will receive the utmost level of care when getting your next body modification. The $300 free tattoo offer is now till the end of the month. Nathan's Anthems, where you can feel comfortable and customer service is paramount. Nathan's Anthems, 1358 Market Street, Reading.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
We're right up to the line, I think, though.
Absolutely. Yeah, very good. So we're back, and I think that Gary brought a good point up here on the break about the science. So go ahead and talk about and maybe ask the Dr. Hauser the question that, or you know, at least maybe get a consensus on it, maybe.
Well, Doctor, the thing that I've found. I spent 27 years up in the state of Alaska, and a year of that time, I was on the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council's advisory panel. So I know a little bit about what they do. And then I also had followed at that time different scientific reports that were brought forward. And once the scientific report was brought forward, it was just a report. And then once the council actually passed it, then it became fact. And so many of these scientific reports that are coming forward nowadays really don't have any basis in fact, but once an elected or appointed group passes them, then all of a sudden they become fact. I'd like you to comment on that if you could, sir.
Yeah, it's a complicated issue. Part of our problem is that we don't have a very good way to fund science in this country. But we also don't have a way to review it and approve it. So in terms of funding, we have different groups that fund science for different purposes.
Mm-hmm.
We have the government who funds science for, you know, whatever the government wants to do, if they want to preserve species or if they just want to advance knowledge. But they almost always have an agenda. And additionally, we have groups that fund science that are private. So we have, you know, pharmaceutical companies who want to develop new drugs, so they fund science to do that. We have, cities who want to find more water for themselves or have more security for water in the future, and so they fund scientists to figure out how to ensure that security. But what we have is a bunch of scientists being done or funded for very specific purposes, mm-hmm. rather than science that is being done in the public trust. That would, you know, make the best use of or make help support and craft the best decisions for use for society. So we have, you know, kind of a set of biased science to start with, and then we have issues with peer review. I'm holding a bottle of water, and I know that it occurs to me that there's no regulations that dictate what kind of water they can put in the bottle that I buy in the store. There's no regulations, there's no standards. And that's the same thing with scientific peer review. You can say your document's peer reviewed if you walk down to the other end of the hall and ask a colleague to look at it for 5 minutes. Or you can actually ask the National Academy of Sciences to peer review it and take 6 months to do it. So peer review is kind of hard to know. And part of that process, like you said, is you know, once a group says this is our science and we endorse it, it gets a, you know, kind of another level of credibility that other good science doesn't necessarily get because it hasn't been adopted by a certain organization.
Yeah, then
so I think we have, you know, bias abounding in science, and it's hard to for the public to really know how to trust or if they even should trust it.
Or for the public to go out and combat something that we know happens to be maybe 180 degrees different, but that from factual, it's hard for us to go out and fight it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's almost like the economy. You got the Keynesians on one side and the Austrians on the other. The Keynesians have credibility because everybody in government believes that Keynesianism is the way to go because of all the schooling that they had and taught them how Marxism was really a good deal. And so what happens is that anybody who has an argument with them is automatically discredited. But the real deal is these guys have been wrong all along. So, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. It's whatever politically correct which way the wind is blowing, it seems like. Boy, we got a quiet.
On that note,
it's the truth. I mean, there's a lot to that. Whether it comes from integrated water here or what the doctor's talking about with the dams. I mean, it's all comes under the same format
of government control getting bigger and bigger and bigger is what it seems like to me. And we're losing more and more of our rights, and it's becoming more and more about consensus and for the good of the colony and that type of thing. So, yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring it up before we run out of time here because the hour goes by so quickly. Dr. Hauser, you're going to be out here in May, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll be out visiting Klamath, various groups and areas in the Klamath Basin from starting in May 5th through about May 8th. I'll be visiting and speaking in at various venues.
Yeah, I believe you're going to be in Klamath Falls and also up in Yreka, is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah, that way people maybe we can post it on the website or something, and if they have more questions or concern, because we can't fit it all in an hour, they can go up there and listen to you and get some questions answered.
And we're running out of time. Yeah. Is there anything that you'd like to enlighten us with before we have to let you go, Dr. Hauser?
I just want to point out, I have filed an allegation of scientific misconduct and also whistleblower protection with the government. My goals are really to make sure we are using good science to make important decisions. I don't have any conflicts of interest with groups in the Klamath. I don't have any financial ties. I'm really, my goals here are just to make sure that science is being represented properly. My career was hurt through this action that the Department of Interior took. And that's a course of concern to me, but far overriding is the scientific misconduct that's going on.
Well, we really want to thank you and commend you on your honesty, and you're trying to be unbiased, because that's what we need here is, no political dogs in the hunt. We need to know what the truth is on these issues. And so we really like to thank you for coming on, and maybe we can have you back at some time, but we really appreciate your candor.
That's great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Bye,
all right,
doctor.
Thank you, Dr. Hauser.
All right, very good. Let's see, do we have anything else that we need to cover? I know Sally on the chat room wants us to talk about the debates we've got on Monday, which I'm scrolling back to.
Which is District 3. Also, we should probably bring up about the sheriff standing tall for the Constitution that's coming up on April 21st.
Yeah, I think the District 3, let's cover that. That's going to be Patrick Jones, and I can't find it here on my...
I believe there's only two. It's Patrick Jones.
There's three. Patrick
is
Jones.
Is there three?
And, yes, there's Patrick Jones, Pam, and Giamini, I think is her last name. I might be mispronouncing that. And then there's another gentleman from up in the Fall River area, and I don't recall his name.
I'm going to find it here if I keep looking. Maybe cover some more stuff there.
Okay. Like I said, we got the sheriff standing tall for the Constitution coming up on the 21st of April. And that's in Alturas at the Desert Road Casino. Again, remember, they're doing the Purple Heart today at City Hall at 2 p.m., and that's located right behind City Hall. There's a Purple Heart Monument. So that's on the back side there at Civic Hall. Also, we have the Assembly Budget Hearing. That's April 18th at 1:30 p.m. That's where we're going down to the State Capitol. A group of us, and letting them know how we feel about our veterans home here and our veterans, that they need to get their priorities straight down there with the money that's already been allocated. I mean, the veterans home, I believe, is like 95% complete.
Yeah, even a little more than that now.
Yeah, maybe 99. So they're like right there where they could open the doors if our good Governor Moonbeam would get it straight with his priorities.
Yeah, I got it here. It's Patrick Jones, Giacomini, I guess that's pronounced properly, probably not because I did it. And Fred Rines is on Monday. So that's what we have in store at the Tea Party. Let's see, what else? Anything else we have to cover? Who do we have next week?
Next week, we actually have a gentleman whose name is Gary Krept, I believe is how you say his name. And he's from the United States Justice Foundation.
Wow. Very cool.
So stay tuned. There's some good stuff coming out of that one.
Okay. I have a quote here. It's a very good one. Fear, uncertainty, and discomfort is your compass towards growth. Author unknown. So I thought that was pretty good. And what else we got here? ShastaCoordination.com. Gary, go ahead and put a plug in for that.
Yeah, I'd like real quick, folks, to ShastaCoordination.com is the name of the site. And there's several issues there. If you go to the documents page, there's several issues on integrated water and on the climate action plan. But ShastaCoordination.com.
Isn't there a meeting coming up on that?
It will be in the near future.
Okay.
Very good.
All right. And we Go ahead.
I was going to say, remember, government is not reason, it is not eloquence. It is force, and like force, like fire, is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
And have a great week, everybody, and thank you again, Gary. And
you're more welcome.
Thanks again to the Dr. Hauser out there, and we'll see you all next week. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Radio. I'm Ron Flatter, speaking with one voice to preserve the shaky ceasefire in Syria.
The draft resolution has been adopted unanimously.
America's UN Ambassador Susan Rice after the Security Council decided to send a team of unarmed military observers into Syria. A motion that hinged on Russia, Syria's closest ally on the council, going along with it.
We've cautioned against destructive attempts at external interference or imposing any kind of illusory fixes. We supported today's resolution in the council, considering the need for a rapid deployment in Syria of the UN Observer Advance Mission.
The translation of Russian UN Ambassador Vitaly Churkin, the ceasefire has been breached today with 9 people reportedly killed by government and rebel forces. Negotiators in Turkey are expressing optimism after emerging from talks with Iran about suspending its nuclear program. The U.S. and 5 other nations are trying